Welcome to Headphone News International Edition for Thursday, April 17, 2025.
Argentina's $12 billion IMF bailout. Argentina has secured a $12 billion bailout from the International Monetary Fund, the first step in a new loan agreement designed to stabilize its economy. This funding raises Argentina's reserves to $36.8 billion. Economy Minister Luis Caputo announced that an additional $2 billion is expected from the IMF soon. The government plans to use part of these funds to cancel treasury notes held by the central bank, aiming to strengthen its financial position. President Javier Milei's administration views this loan as a strategic shift in creditors rather than new debt. This bailout comes at a critical time, as Argentina faces high inflation and currency devaluation. To restore confidence among investors and citizens, the government has lifted currency controls and adopted a floating exchange rate. With further support anticipated from the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank, total inflows could reach around $19.6 billion.
Zipco's impressive earnings surge. Zipco, an Australian buy now, pay later company, has reported impressive quarterly profits for the 3 months ending March 31, 2025. The firm achieved earnings before expenses of $46 million Australian dollars, or about $29 million US dollars, reflecting a remarkable 219% increase from last year. This growth was driven by its U.S. operations, which generated $108.5 million US dollars in revenue, a 44% rise year over year. Total transaction volumes jumped to $1.5 billion US dollars, up 40% from the previous year. Following the strong performance, shares soared over 18%, reaching $1.75, the highest since March 28, 2025. Zipco now expects earnings of at least $153 million Australian dollars for fiscal 2025, an increase from its earlier forecast of $147 million Australian dollars. Analysts at UBS consider this adjustment conservative, given the company's growth trajectory. Additionally, Zipco announced a $30 million US dollar stock repurchase plan to boost shareholder value.
Alphabet Incorporated faces £5 billion lawsuit in the UK. Alphabet Incorporated, the parent company of Google, is facing a massive £5 billion lawsuit in the UK, accused of unfairly dominating the online search market. This class action, led by competition law expert Brooke, claims that Google's practices have driven up advertising prices and stifled competition. The lawsuit highlights that Google has made deals with phone manufacturers to pre-install its search engine and Chrome browser on Android devices, while also paying Apple to set its search engine as the default on iPhones. These actions have left businesses with little choice but to rely on Google Ads for visibility. With the UK's Competition and Markets Authority investigating Google's practices, since the company accounts for about 90% of all searches in the UK, the stakes are incredibly high. If the court rules in favor of the plaintiffs, Google could face hefty fines and be forced to change its business practices, potentially reshaping the tech landscape for users and businesses alike.
Changes in media access to President Trump. The White House has made a major change to media access for President Donald Trump. Key news outlets like Reuters and Bloomberg News will no longer have guaranteed spots in the press pool, which will now include around 30 other organizations. This shift raises important questions about who gets to ask questions and report on the president's statements, sparking concerns about the independence of news coverage. A spokesperson from Reuters highlighted that access to accurate news is vital for democracy, while the Associated Press expressed disappointment, calling this move a disservice to the American people. Previously, the Associated Press, Bloomberg, and Reuters were standard members of the press pool, but the AP was barred in February 2025 for refusing to call a body of water the Gulf of America, as ordered by Trump. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt stated her team will now decide who gets special access to places like Air Force One and the Oval Office. A federal judge recently ruled that AP journalists must be allowed to attend events open to similar news organizations, citing violations of free speech protections under the U.S. Constitution. The White House is appealing this ruling, highlighting ongoing tensions between the government and the media and raising critical questions about press freedom.
Russia's stance on Ukraine remains firm. Sergei Naryshkin, the head of Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, has made it clear that Russia's goals regarding Ukraine have not changed. At a press conference in Minsk with Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, he stated that any peace deal would require Ukraine to adopt a nuclear-free and neutral status. Naryshkin also called for the disarmament and removal of extremist influences in Ukraine, along with the repeal of unfair laws enacted since 2014. A key point he emphasized was the need for recognition of Russia's sovereignty and its current borders. These statements signal a strong position from Russia, raising concerns about potential escalation or prolonged negotiations in the ongoing conflict.
U.S. Secretary of State meets French Foreign Minister in Paris. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is meeting French Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot in Paris on April 17, 2025. They will discuss key issues like the war in Ukraine, the Middle East situation, and Iran's nuclear program. This meeting is crucial for international relations, especially following renewed talks with Iran that started earlier this month in Oman. A second round of negotiations is set for this weekend in Rome. French spokesperson Sophie Primas announced that Rubio and U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff will also address broader Middle Eastern concerns. Meanwhile, French Defense Minister Sébastien Lecornu will visit Washington, D.C. to meet with U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The outcome of these discussions could significantly impact global security and U.S. foreign policy.
UK Supreme Court ruling on gender definition. The UK Supreme Court has ruled that a woman is defined as someone assigned female at birth, explicitly excluding transgender individuals from this legal definition. This decision has sparked significant debate, with feminist groups celebrating it as a victory, while many transgender rights advocates express concern. Susan Smith, co-director of For Women Scotland, stated that biological sex should be the basis for legal definitions. The ruling clarifies that under the UK Equality Act, transgender women can be excluded from certain single-sex spaces, like changing rooms and medical services for women. Justice Patrick Hodge emphasized that this ruling does not remove protections for transgender individuals, who are still safeguarded against discrimination under UK law. This case stems from a 2018 Scottish law requiring that 50% of public board memberships be women, which had included transgender women with gender recognition documents. The mixed reactions highlight the ongoing tension between women's rights and transgender rights in society.
U.S. halts Equinor's Empire Wind project. U.S. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has ordered a stop to the construction of Equinor's Empire Wind project, located 12 nautical miles south of Long Island, New York. This decision comes from concerns about insufficient environmental review before the project was approved. Initially approved by the Biden administration in November 2023, the Empire Wind project was set to generate enough electricity to power around 700,000 homes each year and create hundreds of jobs, boosting New York's economy and reducing reliance on fossil fuels. Equinor, the Norwegian energy company behind the project, expressed disappointment and plans to work with the U.S. agency overseeing ocean energy to resolve permit issues. New York Governor Kathy Hochul criticized the federal government's decision, emphasizing the project's importance for job creation and affordable energy. This halt raises important questions about the future of renewable energy projects in the U.S., highlighting the ongoing tension between environmental concerns and the urgent need for energy development.
Bank of Korea maintains interest rate amid trade tensions. The Bank of Korea is keeping its interest rate at 2.75% to support the South Korean won, which has dropped to its lowest level in 16 years due to trade tensions with the United States. Recently, the U.S. imposed a 25% tax on South Korean imports, raising concerns about economic growth in the region. Analysts warn that if these tariffs persist, the Bank of Korea may lower the interest rate to 2.25% by the end of the third quarter. Finance Minister Choi Sang-mok has pointed out significant risks to economic growth from these tariffs. To stabilize the economy, the South Korean government plans to introduce an additional budget of 12 trillion won, roughly $8.41 billion. Negotiations with the U.S. to reduce these tariffs are expected, which could help the won. The upcoming presidential election on June 3 adds more complexity, especially after the impeachment of former President Yoon Suk-yeol. The election outcome could greatly influence future economic policies and trade strategies.
Federal Reserve faces economic challenges. On April 16, 2025, Jeff Schmid, president of the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank, highlighted the tough economic challenges ahead. He expressed worries about tariffs acting as economic roadblocks for the agricultural sector but noted that falling energy prices could help ease inflation. Schmid stressed the importance of patience in understanding how these factors affect the economy, assuring that the Federal Reserve will respond positively to disruptions impacting its two main goals, price stability and full employment. Earlier, Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve chair, mentioned that the central bank would wait for more economic data before changing interest rates. He warned that tariffs from the Trump administration could lead to higher inflation and unemployment, forcing the Fed to choose between its goals. The discussions among Schmid, Powell, and Lori Logan, president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, reflect ongoing concerns about the economic effects of tariffs. The Federal Reserve remains committed to managing these challenges while maintaining its independence in setting monetary policy.
FinEye's major move in AI acquisition. Big moves are happening in the world of artificial intelligence. PinAI, the leading AI research organization based in San Francisco, is negotiating to buy Windsurf, an innovative coding tool, for around $3 billion. This purchase would be OpenAI's largest to date, although the final terms are still being worked out. Windsurf, which was formerly called Codeium, has gained attention for its technology that boosts coding efficiency for developers. Last year, it raised $150 million in funding, led by General Catalyst, valuing the company at $1.25 billion. Investor interest is on the rise, with firms like Kleiner Perkins excited about Windsurf's potential in the fast-growing AI sector. Additionally, OpenAI plans to raise up to $40 billion in a new funding round, aiming for a valuation of about $300 billion. This reflects the growing confidence in the AI market. The outcome of these talks could significantly impact both OpenAI and Windsurf, as well as the broader tech landscape.
Humanitarian crisis in Sudan. United Nations officials are sounding the alarm over a deepening humanitarian crisis in Sudan, especially at the Zamzam displacement camp in North Darfur. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA, reports a troubling situation in El Fasher, just 15 kilometers away. Armed groups have taken control of Zamzam, leading to brutal violence and serious human rights violations. Ordinary people and aid workers are facing major restrictions on their movement. Stephanie Tremblay, associate spokeswoman for the UN Secretary General, warns that the creation of a parallel government by the paramilitary rapid support forces, known as RSF, in Khartoum will not end the conflict. She stresses the urgent need for meaningful dialogue and calls on the international community to support the Sudanese people in this dire situation. Recent estimates show that around 400,000 of the 500,000 residents of Zamzam have fled due to violence from RSF-affiliated groups. Access to humanitarian aid is severely disrupted, impacting health services and water treatment facilities. This ongoing conflict has historical roots, claiming nearly 30,000 lives and displacing about 13 million people, including 4 million who have sought refuge in neighboring countries. OCHA continues to urge all parties to protect civilians and ensure humanitarian access, highlighting the need for increased international support.
That is all the news for today. Thank you for listening to today's Headphone News. News summary brought to you by AI.